The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Well, and this begins as suddenly it was a busy news day, and now it has become incredibly busy afternoon of breaking news right off the bat here with this presidential announcement about the Boeing 737 MAX. Let's get right to our breaking news.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
Okay, so as you've been hearing in Ursula's newscast, President Trump and the FAA have recommended, now apparently with Boeing's assent, I'm going to get to the press release because I'm just getting that in, that they are grounding the entire 737 MAX fleet worldwide. So this is a plane that was involved in the Indonesian air crash. On Monday, we talked to the attorney who's filing the first lawsuit on behalf of the victims' families in that Malaysian Boeing 737 MAX crash. And in fact, that attorney's going to join me in just a couple of minutes. He is, ironically, at the Las Vegas airport right now, where he was scheduled to come back here on a 737 MAX, which is one of the questions I'm going to have to ask him, is why, if he's suing Boeing over that plane, he was about to get on board a 737 MAX. But here is what President Trump said moments ago. Let me see if I can get this audio here.
Planes that are in the air will be grounded. If they're the 737 MAX, will be grounded upon landing at the destination. Pilots have been notified. Airlines have been all notified. Airlines are agreeing with this. The safety of the American people and all people is our paramount concern.
Okay, so that's some of the audio that you just got from the president?
Yes, and so it was a little bit before noon that he issued his emergency order, and he was explaining, you know, what's going to happen with these planes.
Boeing is an incredible company. They are working very, very hard right now, and hopefully they'll very quickly come up with the answer. But until they do, the planes are grounded.
Okay, so Boeing, you know, we talked about this on Monday. The company's taking quite a hit in terms of reputation. They're competing with Airbus. They said that this 737 MAX was the fuel-efficient airliner that was going to save the airlines millions of dollars in fuel costs.
Yeah, one aviation analyst calls the MAX 8 planes the cash cow for Boeing. And in just the last couple of days, the company's market value has dropped by nearly $30 billion because of the Indonesian air crash that was back in October involving Lion Air that crashed off the Indonesian coast, and then Sunday's Ethiopian Airlines crash.
Yeah, so this is it's a disaster for Boeing. So let me talk to the attorney who filed the first lawsuit against Boeing earlier this week. We continue our breaking news coverage.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
Well, the breaking news from the president, he's grounding these 737 MAX flights nationwide. A couple of days ago, I talked with attorney Charles Herman, who filed the first lawsuit against Boeing for the Malaysian 737 crash last October. He joins us right now from the Las Vegas airport, where you were scheduled to just get on a 737 MAX. Is that right, Charles?
That's correct. I came down to watch Gonzaga. I graduated from Gonzaga, and they lost last night. But anyway, I'm at the airport, and I was about to get on a Southwest flight, which with a 737 MAX. And I don't know what they've got the word on grounding yet or how I'm going to get back. So I'm standing here a little bit lost at the moment.
Well, the first question that pops into my head, you just told me a couple days ago about the reasons why you are suing Boeing over the 737 MAX. Why would you, of all people, book a flight that's aboard that plane?
Well, it was the flight that was available, and I have labored under the impression that if pilots had been properly instructed in the first place, that if there were a malfunction, such as occurred on the Indonesian flight to Lion Air, that the pilots would know what to do and could shut the system down and take reclaim manual control of the plane, and so these planes could be flown safely. I made this reservation before the Ethiopian crash, however, and now there obviously is some very serious questions about the safety of this aircraft.
Okay, now with those very serious questions, you're in Vegas. You're going to just roll the dice and get aboard even after the Ethiopian crash a few days ago?
Well, I guess not now. They're grounded, so I think they're going to have to get a substitute plane in here, or we're going to have to book a different flight to get home. I don't really know the answers to those questions at this point.
Okay. So. You, this presidential announcement just came a few minutes ago. I know that there were people, including Southwest customers like yourself, who had been trying to change their reservations to get off the 737 MAX. Southwest and I believe American both said, we will not allow you to change just because of what the plane is, and we will not offer refunds. Do you think the president has made the correct decision minutes ago in grounding the entire fleet?
Well, I would have preferred that the airlines themselves would have thoroughly inspected these airplanes to make sure the entire flight control system was working properly, and also that they thoroughly prepared and instructed the pilots on how to shut that MCAS, the MCAS, off if they had experienced any difficulty before they put any plane in the air. That's what I would have done if I were the CEO of one of these airlines. But I don't think it's wrong, actually. I agree with President Trump that given the occurrence of Ethiopian Airlines, that with that added information, I think grounding is justified.
You, a couple of days ago, when you told me about your lawsuit against Boeing, I know that you had done extensive research into the black box data and everything involved in the Indonesian plane crash. Now, you don't have that data available for the Ethiopian Boeing crash a couple of days ago, but would that suggest that what you identified in your lawsuit is the serious problem with the pilots not knowing how to disable the system? Would that suggest that maybe there's something else involved that's a common factor between Indonesia and Ethiopia?
Well, I know a lot of people saying it, and they're saying it because it's true, that it's a bit early to really jump to firm conclusions. We need three critical pieces of information. We need the cockpit voice recorder and the flight data recorder out of that Ethiopian plane. But also, it has been long recovered, is the cockpit voice recorder in the Lion Air case. They've had it for some time, and there's no good reason why they are keeping that from the public. And, to me, I'm going to be doing what I can to demand that Lion Air, Boeing, and the NTSB and the equivalent authority in Indonesia release that information to the public, because it's available, and they're not. They're keeping it secret, and I have no idea why, and I don't believe they should.
I am just being handed on this breaking news story a statement from Boeing. Let me share it with you, because I'm sure you have not seen this. Boeing continues to have full confidence in the safety of the 737 MAX. However, after consultation with the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration, the NTSB, and aviation authorities, Boeing has determined, out of an abundance of caution and in order to reassure the flying public of the aircraft's safety, to recommend to the FAA the temporary suspension of operations of the entire global fleet of 371 737 MAX aircraft. Now, I had heard moments ago that this was a presidential decision, but Boeing now says they are on board with the grounding of the fleet. What does that tell you?
Well, I think Boeing is doing the right thing. There's too many serious questions where there aren't answers. And obviously, I think safety of the flying public and the crews, really, is paramount. And that when you had two of these occur within a matter of about 3.5 months, it's the correct step to take to get to the bottom of the matter and understand it. So I respect Boeing's decision, and I'm very glad that they did that.
Okay. Charles Herman is the attorney who filed the lawsuit against Boeing a couple of days ago in the Malaysia 737 MAX crash. He's now stranded at the Vegas airport because he was about to get on a 737 MAX that has just been grounded. Charles, I appreciate you jumping on with me on such short notice.
Okay, good, Dory. Have a good day.
All right, that is the breaking news out of Las Vegas, and we will keep you posted on this huge Boeing story throughout the afternoon. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
Jay Inslee wants to raise your taxes in an effort to try to boost his presidential hopes. That is the unmistakable message that came out of an MSNBC interview where Jay Inslee was called out by host Chris Hayes for not doing enough to lower carbon emissions in Washington in his 6+ years as governor. Here's from MSNBC, and we're going to dive into this a little bit because it shows how Jay Inslee wants to raise your taxes hundreds of dollars a year. If you are a two-car family, he wants your taxes to go up about $600 a year so that he can boost his presidential hopes. Inslee on MSNBC.
Emissions have gone up in your state during your tenure as governor, correct?
Yes, we've had about 130,000 people moving here, so we've got more cars, and we have taken big steps. We've now built a wind turbine industry to six.
Okay, so he's just spewing all this nonsense now about
doing a lot is not enough.
The steps he's taken, and Chris Hayes keeps saying, okay, you've done all these things, but carbon emissions have gone up in your state, so how are you going to lower them as president where it's even tougher? And this is where it's very obvious that Inslee wants to raise your family's taxes to boost his presidential hopes.
But we need to do more.
Yeah, but doing a lot is not enough. This is the whole problem of this problem. I've been hearing doing a lot for a long time.
Right.
They got to go down. I mean, you're governor of a state that's a pretty progressive state, although you've had a Republican legislature. What do you say to someone?
Which is a lie that Inslee doesn't correct. One chamber of the legislature was Republican. It's not a Republican legislature. And, of course, the Democrats took over the Senate last November. But listen to what Inslee wants to parlay the Democrats taking over all of state government into for your family.
And says, look, you've had the chance to bring emissions down in your state. You haven't done it. How the heck are you going to do it with a Republican Senate, maybe, or in the even more difficult to manage federal government?
Well, first off, the voters have given me now a Democratic legislature. So for the first time, I have a working majority. And right now, as we speak, we have several bills, including 100% clean grid, a clean fuel standard that I hope will pass tonight in my House.
Okay, and it did last night. So, what does this mean for you? So, Inslee said, for the first time, voters have given me an all-Democrat legislature. So, that bill that Inslee was touting, the low-carbon fuel standard, it would raise the gas tax as much as 41 cents a gallon when fully phased in. Now, that is on top of a 19-cent a gallon increase that the Senate has already passed out of the chamber for a transportation tax. So if Governor Inslee gets his way, the gas tax in Washington will go up about 60 cents a gallon. We have the second highest gas tax in the United States. He wants you and me to have the highest gas tax. Now, I'm going to talk at 12:30 with a group that's trying to fight this thing. But you heard what Inslee just admitted on MSNBC, that he is going to grandstand for a national audience with his Democrat legislature by seeing if he can push through the most punitive gas tax in the United States, which will do nothing for the planet. As I have chronicled, I've painstakingly with you gone over the numbers, the amount of driving that will be impacted by this massive gas tax would reduce carbon emissions in our state to levels that would impact the planet by 1/50th of 1%. 0.02 of 1% is what Jay Inslee wants to benefit the planet. But what will it mean for you? Well, a 60-cent a gallon gas tax increase. If you're a two-car family, you drive about 10,000 miles a year, your cars get on average maybe a little more than 20 miles a gallon, but let's say 20 miles a gallon. So you buy per vehicle about 500 gallons a year. Well, a 60-cent gas tax increase will mean $300 per vehicle. If you are a husband and wife, maybe your kids drive too. Maybe you have teenage kids. You're hoping to buy their way into college. We'll get to that story a little bit later. So Jay Inslee wants your family's taxes to go up about $600 a year, not to help the planet, but to punish you for driving so that he can use that as a comeback when MSNBC hosts call him out and say, but you haven't lowered carbon emissions. And you'll say, well, now that I got a Democrat legislature, listen what we did. We decided to punish families. And by the way, it's the working class and the poor who are going to be the hardest hit by this. They cannot afford to just go out and buy electric cars, which is why the demographics of those who buy electric cars is overwhelmingly the wealthy and the upper middle class. In fact, Olympia also still has alive a tax credit for electric car purchases. So the poorest people in the state will subsidize, through the gas tax, will subsidize the wealthiest people in the state who buy electric cars. Inslee will have a comeback when they say you haven't done enough, and your family will pay $600 a year more so Inslee can burnish his presidential aspirations. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, lots of breaking news there. And we're going to talk more about what this gas tax is going to mean for your family. I'll talk to a guy who's trying to help fight it coming up next. Well, as we've been telling you, this legislative session is starting to look like a bloodbath for the taxpayers. They have a transportation plan that would add 19 cents a gallon to the price of gas. But as Jay Inslee said a couple of days ago, that's not going to do anything to change people's driving habits. For that, they want a low carbon fuel standard, and that has passed the House. It's on its way to the Senate. And Randy Pepl is a longtime political consultant. He joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Randy, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
You were also my Husky football broadcast partner when I was doing play-by-play back in the mid-'80s.
Yeah, last century.
Yeah, that was, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a long time into the last century. Okay, so tell me about this low-carbon fuel standard that passed out of the House yesterday, and most importantly, what it's going to mean for the average family's pocketbook.
Well, certainly. The House Bill 1110 is the bill you're talking about, the low-carbon fuel standard, and it passed the House last night, and it is just, it's costly, it's regressive, and it won't work. It's kind of, you know, the three pillars of this policy. It would cost, based on what California regulators have said, it would add 16 cents to the cost of a gallon of gas. And they're estimating in California, which has a very similar policy, that that would go up to 41 cents a gallon by 2030. So that's the cost. And in, it hits the people who can't afford it the most, because it hits the poor and the middle class who have to drive to get to their job, to run their errands and so forth. They can't switch to, go out and buy an expensive electric car. And it's a policy that just doesn't work. Even in California, the regulators down there have said that it is 10 times more costly than other carbon emission policies.
Sure.
So if the goal is to reduce carbon at an efficient price, this is the last policy that you would want to impose.
Well, and as I said, this is on top of the planned 19-cent a gallon increase in the transportation tax. So what we're looking at is a 60-cent a gallon increase once all of these taxes are fully phased in for, as you said, the people who cannot escape it, because the wealthy overwhelmingly are the percentage who buy electric cars, and it's the working class that can't escape this thing, and that's who it's going to hit the most. And yet the Democrats just don't care about these families that are getting taxed out of existence here.
It's that layering of costs that is really a problem, because the working families can't get away from that. Whether you're a union member who has to commute to a job site that's not close to your home, or whether you just have to drive produce from eastern Washington to western Washington to get it to market, as they layer these costs on it, all of those costs pass down to the consumer. And so you and I end up paying them at the pump. And anytime we buy something that requires transportation to reach us. And for those who are pushing these types of policies, for them, it's much more about, hey, we have to have these. This is the way to go. And they are ignoring the examples in California where regulators there, just in studies that were published last month and that you can read about, if you go to our website, affordablefuelwashington.com, you can read those studies and see that this is a policy that will not work.
Well, and yeah, you make a great point. I just want to accentuate the point you just made. So we're looking at, between the transportation and the low carbon fuel standard, phased in 60 cents a gallon added to gas. We already have the second highest gas tax in the country. We'll go skyrocketing to number one. But yeah, you just made the point. All goods that get to marketplace get there via truck, and if people have shifted to online shopping, it's trucks that bring it to our house, and all of these added fuel costs are going to be factored in. So yeah, there is a multiplier here well beyond what people are going to obviously see at the pump.
And even more, the voters of Washington have already rejected this, Dory. I mean,
yeah,
the voters have rejected two ballot measures that would increase gas prices to have environmental impact. And they're not saying that because they want a dirtier environment. What Washingtonians are saying is, we want carbon reduction policies that work, with incentives, not penalties, to help us transition to this cleaner economy. But this policy just does not do that.
Well, and that, beyond that, And I know the Democratic sponsor said that they just want to move the state to cleaner fuels and all of this other stuff, but I've done the calculations to roll back our fuel standards by an incremental amount. It would help the planet to the tune of about 1/50 of 1%. I mean, that would be the overall planetary greenhouse gas reduction if Washington does this. 1/50 of 1%, which statistically means zero. So it would end up costing families billions of dollars for zero planetary benefit. And that's where I think this, you know, is so insidious, because if the goal is to help the planet, this certainly doesn't accomplish that.
But what it does accomplish, if this were to pass the state Senate, is that it would hit your pocketbook.
Oh, yeah.
It would hit the pocketbook of working families across the state. And so if people care about this, it passed last night in the House, they should call the legislative hotline, 800-562-6000, and leave a message for their state senator saying, don't hurt us with a policy that will not work, that's ineffective and will not work. Vote against House Bill 1110.
Yeah, it is crazy when you see the overall costs. And I know that when you oppose something like this, as you do, as a matter of policy, that you have to try to consider what their stated reasons for doing this are. I've been talking about this a lot, Randy, that I'm trying to understand just the morality of politics that is adding hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars in costs per family per year in this legislative session. And I cannot understand the radicalism that we are seeing in Olympia this session.
Well, what's truly unfortunate is it seems that there are some members of the legislature that do not want to take into account all of the policies that have been passed and that get layered on top of each other that hurt the pocketbooks of the people of the state, when in fact Washington State already has one of the cleanest energy sectors in the country.
Yeah.
Because of our abundance of hydropower. And let's look at policies that would work, that would actually reduce emissions if that's the goal, and not pick a policy that in California the regulators there are already saying does not work. It's inefficient. It's 10 times more costly than other policies.
Well, time to speak out is now, and as Randy said, you got to contact your senator because it's already passed out of the House. Legislative hotline is 800-562-6000. And what's your website again for affordable fuel?
It's affordablefuelwashington.com.
All right. Randy Pepple.
Join our coalition because that's how we'll stop this.
All right. Randy Pepple, always good talk with you, Randy. Appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you for having me on, Dory.
All right. And you speak out now because they want this to be the most tax-unfriendly legislative session in our state's history. And by the way, Inslee was called out on MSNBC for not reducing emissions under his watch. And so he said, well, I got a Democrat legislature now. So he's trying to leverage this into some punitive taxes. All right, love to hear what you say about this. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. So you just heard about the planned gas tax increase, and again, you can help stave this off. It's more important than ever that you let your lawmakers know that you can't afford. And I'm getting some text messages from people who are saying, forget about $600 a year. If the gas tax goes up 60 cents a gallon, which when fully phased in, it'll take a few years, but fully phased in, they're talking about 60 cents a gallon from the 425. Dory, for my family's two cars, that'll be an additional $1,000 a year. And then they say something not nice about Inslee in that text message. And then, as we just talked about, the cost of goods to the marketplace will cost more. The cost of, as my guest said, driving produce from eastern Washington to western Washington, that's going to go up. And a lot of businesses are on such a tight margin, they can't afford. They're battling with Amazon. Amazon can defray shipping costs, but, I mean, they're still a factor. But for retail businesses, they can't pass costs along and still compete with Amazon. So all of this is just business killing to burnish Inslee's presidential aspirations. There is another bill. Oh, and so the legislative hotline, 800-562-6000. And you got to let them know that low carbon fuel standard, you just can't afford it. Then there's something going on in the legislature that sounds like an elementary school student council has gotten control of the Democrat Party in our state. because in the state Senate last night, they passed a bill that would require presidential candidates to release 5 years of tax returns in order to be allowed on the ballot in Washington state. So in other words, these fourth graders who have taken over the Democrat Party in Olympia,
we don't like President Trump. I know. Let's say that he's got to release his tax returns if he wants to be on the ballot in our state. Yeah, that'll get him. Seriously, they're like fourth graders.
And so they believe that they are going to trump all federal election laws by having a bunch of radical children who are in charge of the Democrat Party in our state. They think they've come up with a way forcing presidential candidates to release their tax returns to be on the ballot in Washington. State Senator Doug Erickson has no problem calling out the nonsense from the Democrats, and he was talking about that latest effort by the Dems.
So this legislative body passes this bill. The Attorney General tries to defend it. Let's just say perhaps he's successful after spending a few more $1 million that he's already spent compared on top of what he's already spent suing the federal government. And the Republicans decide we're going to go and use a caucus system and not the presidential choice primary to get a nominee. So the Republican Party picks a nominee through the caucus system. And that nominee is President Trump, for example. And he determines not to release his tax returns. So this legislative body is going to say that the Republicans will not have a choice on the November ballot, even after the Republican Party picks that person through their caucus system to be the nominee. I would think that would lead to a little bit of a revolt here in Washington state.
It's like Doug Erickson's the only adult. Well, no, there are a lot of people who are calling out the Democrats' nonsense. But what he just said is absolutely correct. What the Democrat Party wants here in Washington state is to not allow the Republican presidential candidate on the presidential ballot in Washington state. There will be more than a revolt. There would be, I mean, look, like I said, Bob Ferguson will defend it because he hates the president too. He's like a third grader. He's not going to help the fourth graders out. He's not going to hurt the fourth graders, I mean. Okay, Fast 15 is coming up next.